Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior. The old saying that there's no place like home becomes more real when you grow older. I returned home Thursday night with the powerful Australian bug that attacked gastrointestinal tract, my lungs, and where else I do not know. So many of you have greeted me and said, "How are you?" I say, "Alive, but tired." So things today are not the same as last year. So, dear friends, it's so good to see all of you. My trip was about 12 days to four cities, 3 days each to Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Perth, to all our BP churches there. Thank you for praying. I believe the Lord has blessed the trip. Some of them says, "You've not come for so long. Come more often." I say, God willing, this will be my last scheduled gospel shuttle. "Oh, you mean you're not coming again?" I said, "No. Listen to what I said. This is the last scheduled gospel shuttle. So there will be unscheduled other trips." So continue to pray for the work down under. 1986, we first went there. Now there are 6 BP churches. You know what a blessing it is to those who go to study. Students have a place to go to, and to be assured that there is a warm welcome in a Bible-believing church. It's good to see all of you. I believe you have been blessed by the ministry of this Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. Haven't you? Yes. If we have, we must share the blessing. So, may I make a request that everyone make an effort. You know, we have come to the last quarter of this year. How many of you have not got this? Or you have got it? All have it? All have. All right. There are more copies outside. When you leave, take one or two and make an effort so that we can propagate the Word of God to many more people. So there is joy in service, joy in serving the Lord, as well as joy coming to this blessed house of God to serve Him here. Tonight's topic is "Jesus is all the world to be," a song written by Will Thompson, about the same time as Stephen Foster. You know who is Stephen Foster? The great folk songwriter of America. And Will Thompson discovered his musical talent at 16 and wrote 2 songs and became quite famous because of the songs, which almost could rival with Stephen Foster. But his first love was to serve the Lord. And of his writings of gospel songs, this is the best known: "Jesus is all the world to me." How many of you have found comfort by this song? 2 years ago, I was in Vancouver, and we went visiting. in a hospital, one of our members was suffering from what is called Lou Gehrig's disease. Anyone knows what it is? I think very few people know. I know it because he was the baseball idol of 70 and 80 years ago. He dazzled with his power and speed, and he played for the New York Yankees, and he set all kinds of records. He was like an idol. Everybody worshipped him. When he came onto the stadium to play, there was great applause and excitement. Lou Gehrig playing. Wonderful. Lou Gehrig lived for baseball until a disease very strange and rare, now called Lou Gehrig disease, because he was the first one to be diagnosed with this degenerative disease of the muscles, which concerned breathing. Now, when your breathing muscles are attacked and you cannot breathe, naturally, you cannot live. So this lady I was mentioning in Vancouver was on a respirator, looking strapping, healthy, maybe about 50 years old, and surely she, in the normal course of events, would have another 20, 30 years to live. But now, her whole future depends on a machine that goes on breathing, and she cannot talk because the muscles are affected. So Lou Gehrig could not anymore play baseball. Whereas he lived for baseball, now he just tried to live on for himself. What do you live for, dear friends? We all live for something. Some of you live for family, which is very good. Students live for their career and studies, hoping to do well so that you can qualify for a good job and be established in society, which is good. You live for that something and you strive very hard for it. In the field of entertainment, one name that came to my mind, again, maybe too old for most of you, is Elizabeth Taylor. Remember her? Best friend of a queer man called Michael Jackson. For 40 years, Elizabeth Taylor ruled the silver screen, acting all kinds of roles, winning all kinds of awards as best actor, best actress, all kinds of medals and cups and so on and so forth. Remember, she was an actor. An actor acts. Acts what you are not. You just act the part, you know. So you are not your real self. In that way, she acted and enjoyed life. Married 8 times. To 7 husbands. Amazing. So this was part of her zest for acting. Until no more husband. She was older. By then she was left with a dog. So now she's attached to a dog. She says, I'd never go anywhere without the dog. She is my constant companion. I live now for the dog. Sometimes I look at the dog and I think there is a person inside there. Wow. So that is Elizabeth Taylor. Now the name that comes to me, which all of you know, and recently in the big news, you know who? Luciano Pavarotti. Yes. king of tenors, the best tenor almost. There were others, but he is the best at the moment until he died. And he became world famous through his three tenors. And so he lived for singing, entertaining people. One time, 500,000 gathered in New York's Central Park to listen to this amazing voice sing. He lived for his entertainment. But then, there is such a thing as cancer. When you get cancer, there is very little you can do about it. So, no more Pavarotti, except you buy his CDs and you can play. He still sings to you at home. So these are three examples of what people live for. Lou Gehrig for baseball. Elizabeth Taylor for a fast life, an unreal life, acting parts of other people. And then Pavarotti, singing with his voice to entertain the masses. Now come nearer home, people I know, and I'll tell you what these people live for. And while I'm speaking, can you ask yourself, what am I living for? Right? There's a purpose of tonight coming here. It's not entertainment, but it is provocation. So that you're going to ask yourself, what am I living for? I once had a friend who owned a goldsmith shop in High Street. In the old days, High Street was very different from today. And he had this goldsmith shop, and he had only one son. He idolized the son. He lived for the son. Wonderful, only begotten son. This son must grow up, become another goldsmith, then I can leave him the inheritance of the gold shop. At 11, the only son was struck down by leukemia. So he died. You know what he did? On his bed, he framed a portrait of the beloved son, put it on the bed, and every morning he'll go there and pay his respects. The absent son, he could not forget. So he lived for the son, but now the no son, what to do? Well, photograph. I had another friend. He told me once in Perth that he was worth about 200 million. Wonderful. One day he transferred his assets, most of it, to his son. Promptly the son left him and turned around against him. He was so flabbergasted, stunned, and he lives in Ardmore Park, just behind me. He couldn't take it. I've lived for my son all my life. Now I think he's my beloved son. Have all my wealth. Now he's turned. What do I do? From the 25th story, he took a high dive. So these are the things that we encounter in real life. Now have you figured out? What are you living for? You, sitting there. Do you have an objective, something that grips you every morning when you wake up? Say, this is what I'm living for. Something that will endure. Something that will not go wrong. How about that? Yes, we all live for something. What do I live for? Today at my stage, you can guess what I live for. As I have lived for the last 40, 50 years is exactly what I live for today. For the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. This is what keeps me going. This is what makes me go round. There is a man called Saul. Now you all are no stranger to Saul. He had a different agenda. Living for something to him was most important what he described himself as. Pharisee of the Pharisees. If you talk of any Pharisee, I'm the model Pharisee. Strictest of the strict. So every law I keep, every ritual I keep, every needed duty I do. There arose the Christian movement. And he says, nope, I will do my utmost to exterminate this intruder, which he did. You know the rest of the story. But you know our Lord is greater than 1,000 Sauls or 1,000 of us. And our Lord has a purpose and a plan. And for Saul, he was a chosen vessel. Of course, Saul didn't know it. But Jesus knew it. Jesus purposed to use him. Could it be that Jesus is purposing to use someone here? That you have no particular objective in life, a humdrum, aimless life, or madly pursuing money or career or pleasure or the world? What are you living for? The Lord knows. As for Saul, Damascus Road changed him. Now he writes differently. You'd like to join me to read what he wrote. Philippians, alright? Philippians chapter 3. Here is a reversal of values. And I pray and hope. Now, I always tell you when you hear a sermon, what must you do? Pray. Never forget. Don't sit there and dream. Sit there and the mind is wandering away. In that way, you will never absorb the sermon. Pray that the Lord Holy Spirit will be in your heart and mind to open your understanding. And you understand the words of Holy Scripture which were not written for nothing. These words of Paul, written 2,000 years ago, are for us tonight. For you. So that in hearing the word, you examine yourself, praying, Lord Holy Spirit, please, show me your will, that I have something wonderful to work for, to live for every day. Waking up, there is a thrill. I'm going to do this for the Lord Jesus Christ because He has called me. Now this is the Pauline spirit. Turn back one page, and that is the most succinct or brief statement of purpose in anybody's life. Philippians 1:21. You would like to read it together with me, and so that you go home, you'll not forget it. Are you ready? All right. 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Wow. What happened? How can to die is gain? And to live is Christ? What happened? All because of the trip to Damascus. And there the Savior crucified, risen from the dead, ascended to glory, appeared to him. And says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? What are you doing? Every day persecuting Christians. You think I'm dead? But here I am. I have special work for you. Maybe God has special work for you. Don't waste your life just living aimlessly. None here as a Christian should ever live an aimless life. There must be a purpose, an objective, something that is God-given, godly, with the aim that eventually leads you to the heavenly goal. Do you? Right. Ask yourself. Be serious. This is a very serious subject. And when you deal with serious subjects, be serious. Nothing to laugh about. So are you thinking? So Paul says, for to me, I'm living now. And the kind of life I live, you all have read. Prisons, shipwrecks, beatings, stripes, hunger, thirst, near death, false brethren, betrayal, everywhere I suffer. That's my life. Because what? Christ. Jesus my Lord. After He appeared to me, and I recognize that this is the risen Savior, the only one who ever rose from the dead, who's coming again, and He assures all of us that believing in Him, you have that future. For as in Adam, all die. Don't be afraid, you know it. In Christ shall all be made alive. So there is hope. There is something wonderful to die in Christ. That's why you can say this verse. For to me to live is Christ. Therefore I live every day for my Savior, because I know when the time comes for me to die, I am going to be with Him. Is that your hope? Do you know it? Yes, you don't go to any halfway house and get stuck there for some time, and they make you better before you can go to heaven. Not at all. To live is Christ. Now live for Him every day. Why don't you make an effort and bring one friend next week? I know I can talk and talk and talk, and next week I see it's just the same. But when the Holy Spirit moves you, you will go and bring a friend. Why not? The time is limited. The time wherein you can serve Him is not for always. There are so many opportunities for you to go and bring friends, that they may hear the good news of what Jesus can do in your life through these series of sermons. By the way, starting next week in the last quarter, I have scheduled all the sermon titles from the Daily Remembrancer. Alright? And to tie in with this effort to promote a godly book, we will offer the Daily Remembrancer at a special discount, because we are approaching Christmas. And it is time for you to plan to give your Christmas present. Don't give them useless gifts, but give them Daily Remembrancer. And for the next quarter, all the titles are taken from the Daily Remembrancer according to the date of our meeting here. If it is October 7th, turn to October 7th evening, and that is the reading. There is a coordination of what we have put into the Daily Remembrancer and what we are going to preach. So there is some help in there. Will you please do that? Take a copy of this as you leave here. Please, don't forget. And then from next week, this book, by the way, I've seen the English edition just come from London. They didn't want to take our edition. Now we compare the two. Singapore edition is much better. Yeah. And much cheaper. So you get your copy. Make an effort. Use it to go and reach out to somebody at Christmas. Be a good ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, turn over to next chapter. Chapter 3. Now, Paul tells you of his experience. Tells us how after Damascus Road, his whole orientation, Paul is telling us what changed his value system. Verse 7 says, what things were gained to me, now I count them loss for Christ, all because of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here you can tell me also, before I found the preciousness of Jesus Christ my Lord, I had other values, other value system, priorities, but when Jesus came into our life, there is a change. Can you say that? Can you look near your life? The friend who started me to go to Perth was in Calvary, Jurong. When his wife was converted, he was mad with the wife. You're deserting the household gods and the idols. They're waiting for you to worship. But he consented to listen to the gospel, and the word of God touched him, and he got converted. After that, he forsook his idols. Then his life changed. He said, no more mahjong, no more cinema. All his worldly friends cut off. There is a change in priorities. Can you look at your life? Or maybe you are still doing those things, mahjong, or unprofitable pastimes, or, you know what, television addicts. The whole day glued to that square box. Now, if the Lord Jesus comes in your life and He takes priority, those things go out, you know, automatically. Verse 7 says, those things which were gained to me, now I count loss because Jesus has come into my life. If Jesus has come to your life, has it made a change? It cannot be nothing. If they never made any change, it means you ignore what the Lord Jesus teaches you to do. And it is only a kind of a distant relationship with Jesus Christ. But I say, look, dear friends, let us all come into an intimate, close relationship that you really, truly love the Lord who loved you and went to Calvary's cross for you. Now he says, go and be my witness. Does that change your life? Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and account all things. Wow. All things. I can say for me, mostly true. Yes. At one time, my greatest desire was to own a sailing ship, a sailing boat. When I had no money, I had that ambition. I want to sail. It's so good going to the sea to sail. But when I had the money to afford the best sailing boat, no more desire, because the Lord Jesus fills my life. Is there such a thing with you? And there are so many other desires, other priorities, used to be top priority, now because the Lord Jesus takes over, those things become unimportant. You change. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. How is your knowledge of Christ Jesus your Lord? Don't know Him superficially, at arm's length only. Try and know Him intimately. To love Him. Because the more you know Him, the more you appreciate what He has done for you. Then the more you love Him. Young people in love get married. And then you begin to know, wow, how she loves me. She has given up all kinds of other things, other boys, and now He's only me. Your response must be there. Same here with Paul, except it's different. This is spiritual. This is eternal. And if my Savior has done so much, what am I doing for Him? Now these are the pertinent questions you've got to ask yourself tonight. And I say that only the Holy Spirit can cause you to change your lifestyle and change your value system. So it says here, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but rubbish. So the sailing boat I had ambitions of having now become dung. What for? You know how much it costs to keep a boat going? Easily $500,000 to get a one to be of any respectable proportion. And to keep it going, a couple of thousand a month. Then you can go and berth it in Sentosa and sail around feeling good. But what things gain to me, now I count. Because I can do so much other things for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is dung. Rubbish! Nine. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. What is it that matters most in your life? Does Jesus and God see me acceptable? This is all that matters, not how regular you are, how much you've done for Him. The bottom line is, does He see you righteous, acceptable? How can you be? Because the final test when you arrive at heaven's gate is, what credentials do you have to enter heaven? Answer, by the righteousness of my Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why Paul keeps stressing. Verse 9, I must be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness before. I kept every law, observed every ritual, very respectable. Everybody knows Saul, the Pharisee. But in God's eyes, hypocrite. Yeah. Don't be a hypocrite. Whatever else you do, don't ever be a hypocrite. So here it is. No use to have my own righteousness because I cannot ever achieve any kind of righteousness on my own. Where do you get your righteousness from? Where? The Lord Jesus Christ. He must give it to you as a free gift. When you come to Him and say, Lord, I want to be cleansed. And I believe in You, and I'll obey You, I'll follow You all my life. You are accounted righteous. Amazing, isn't it? Do you have that righteousness? Not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The word here is faith. Pray for faith every day. Add that to your shopping list if you have one. Lord, evermore give me faith. I've told you this before. When I first arrived in Hokkang to stay with my grandfather, I was 6, he was 70. He says, grandson, come, let's pray. And you every day pray. I said, pray what? Pray God to give you faith. I said, what is faith? Never mind, you pray. Alright. But after a while you understand. Yes, Holy Spirit will enable to understand. Faith is simply believing and obeying God. That's all. Nothing's complicated. Will you pray this? So that when you have that faith given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, it will transform your value system. So that you will put God's things first. And your things are last. Verse 10, that I may know Him. How well do you know Him? Oh, the Lord has amazing things for you. The only trouble is we do not go to inquire with him. You do, try that please. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow, what is this fellowship of his sufferings? Remember I told you Paul went through all kinds of sufferings. No one else can rival those sufferings. And he went through it willingly, in order that he may share in the fellowship with his Lord. If my Lord can go to Calvary and there be beaten, spat upon, crowned with thorns, put on a purple robe and be slapped and beaten, and eventually hung on a cross, what have I suffered? I must have a fellowship in his sufferings and be conformable unto his death. He's died for me. I've not died for him. But at least if there is a chance for me to suffer for him, then it is conforming to his death. And eventually, Paul died also for his faith, for his master. Right? When you have come into that position, what is death? To live is Christ. To die is gain. No longer afraid of death when you have come to that position of understanding. Right, the rest we will consider. I suggest you go home and read. Verse 11, it is my... If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the one thing that bugs me, the one thing that put highest on my priority is resurrection. That when I die, they bury me. That is not the end. You concerned? Yeah. How sad. When my mother died, 1946, I was 20. She was 54. For 20 years, she was my source of life and joy and everything I had in this world was mother. Yeah. I left her for school, Anglo-Chinese school, ACS, 1946. I said, Mother, I've been delayed by the Japanese for 4 years. Now let me go back to school and I will study hard and be a credit to you. I will study hard. I will not come back for holidays for the first term because I got to catch up. A lot of catch up work to do. She said to Father, he says, this son is not very filial. She doesn't want to come home. But the intention was, I must use that holiday to catch up. But that holiday never came. On March the 8th, just about the holiday about to start, in 5 days, God took her. Amazing. Mother was the strongest member of the whole family. Father was a sick man. Mother was the strong lady. And whenever father was sick, children, pray for father. If he dies, all of you become beggars. We prayed. Did God answer prayer? Yeah. Father lived to 92. Mother lived to 54. So in 5 days, one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, by mid-afternoon, she told the family, I'm going to heaven. Wow, everybody got a shock. What is it? My time has come. She went to heaven that night. I was in Singapore. Those days, please, transport is not easy. Telephones are almost non-existent. So the next morning, I got the news. We all rushed back. Mother is cold, silent, and no more. Home is never the same again. Other times we come home, Mother, her happy voice will sound from inside or upstairs. Now we can call nothing. So the next day, we return home on Friday. Saturday, burial. From Monday, for 2 weeks, every morning, my youngest sister, that is Mrs. Peter Ng, and myself would ride our bicycles to the graveyard and just sit over her burial site and just think about her. Heartbroken. Amazing. Until one day a friend of ours came along and gave us one hymn. And that's a hymn we are going to sing. You'd like to turn to that hymn. Any of you who ever will encounter a situation of a broken heart, remember it is 109. Jesus is all the world to me. I might say, until then, mother was all the world to me. If I go back to Batu Pahat, it's mother. We used to discuss, I said, mother, you know, we've never owned a motor car. The whole family don't operate even one bank account, nothing. We live from hand to mouth all the time. We all go around in bicycles. You know, in all her life, mother never had one vacation of note. Never, never, never. So I used to discuss with her, mother, when I grow up, long time ago, I will take you for holidays. I will buy a house and put you in comfort. And I will employ servants to look after you. Dreams, building castles in the air. My mother was my life. More than any of the other boys, because big brother Timothy was in Singapore. Second brother had gone to Hong Kong to study and disappeared for 4 years because of the Japanese. I was number three. So the biggest boy in the house was me. So for everything, mother looked to me because I was the eldest. And we had developed a very wonderful bond. Mother was all the world to me. Suddenly, no mother. That was shattering. I tell you a fact. For 10 years, I could not think of mother. Every time you think of mother's face, there's a pain that shoots down the heart right here. 10 years. No joke. No exaggeration. That is mother. Until Jesus is all the world to me. Now you know why this song is so precious to me. You turn to 109. Unless you have this relationship of Jesus Christ coming in to fill the vacuum left by mother, your heart continues to ache and hurt and be very sore. There must be divine comfort, and here it is. Jesus is all the world to me. Not my mother, of course, mother is precious, but mother cannot be in the place of Jesus. Why? Mother gave me birth, first birth. Jesus gave me second birth. And the mother who gave me that birth is now dead. And I will follow her and I will be dead also one day. But my Lord Jesus is all the world to me because He gives me the second birth. And because of Jesus, I have victory over death. And because of my faith and my mother's faith in Jesus, the resurrection is assured for her, for me, for you, for all of us. So there is a reunion. There is a coming back together. The home in Batu Pahat became silent at the tomb. One day up there, the home will be a beautiful, happy home. Jesus is all the world to be. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. You know, my father didn't let us go to school for almost 6 months. What do you want to study for? Mother is dead, you know. Stay home and just look after the clinic. Until a friend came and said, "Hey, doctor, your sons need to study, you know. You keep them in the house, what will they become? Coolies." So father woke up and said, "Okay, go to Singapore to study." Amazing business. But the best thing is, we all knew Jesus. The best thing is that mother taught us all the Lord Jesus is our Savior. All of us believe, all of us were saved. Without Him, I would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. Do you? When you are sad, where do you go? To whom? Not to the counselor, or to the doctor, or to the pastor. Of course, pastor can help you. But first thing is, go to the Lord Jesus. No other one can cheer me so. So I took this hymn, I sang it, when I went to study in Belfast. Wherever I go, I remember this song. Jesus is all the world to me. May this song from tonight give you special comfort, special place in your heart. Don't sing it just casually, superficially, but pray even as you sing. Let's arise to sing this. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all, my friend in trials sore. Wonderful, he's your friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He's my strength from day to day. Without Him I would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials all. I go to Him for blessing, and He gives them all and all. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Fall and rain, harvest of grain, is my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to Him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when He's so true to me? Following Him, I know I'm right. He loves me. Following Him by day and night is my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I trust him when life's threatening days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, is my friend. Now may the love of God our Father, the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus, and the fellowship and communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with all of God's people this night and forevermore. Amen.